Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Regretsville is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Find us and more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com.
And great news, because now Regretsville is on Spotify.
Oh my
God. You have no excuse. The excuse is gone now, my friend.
110. Spotify is at your fingertips.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You can listen to all episodes of Regretsville there, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
And if that's not enough and you're going, but I miss them, what about the other 6 days? Guess what? We also have a Twitter. Tweet at us. Follow us at Regretsville Pod. And you know what? We might just tweet back at you.
Oh, my God. I mean, tell us our regrets. We're obviously, like, are really apt to, like, handling that.
We can handle that. I mean, you know that we've got how many characters? 140. I mean, there's only so much we can say on Twitter, but we will do our best.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah, so follow us. Welcome to Regretsville. I'm Tracy Soren.
I'm Jesse Jollis. Together, we're Soren and Jollis. And you might be walking down the street with a piece of chalk in your hand and the hopes of making a hopscotch board in the other. And all of a sudden, you're looking back and you're going, it's going to rain. Will I regret it? And maybe you have regrets. And of course you do, because it'd be insane if you don't.
That was the first one that made sense.
They always make sense. Go back and listen. They all make sense. They're very good. I don't know how I come up with them so quickly, but that's just a talent.
That was the first one that sounded, I got it.
They all make sense.
The basketball
they
with the what?
Make sense. What?
Basketball you have?
And the baseball juggling, but juggling with two. That's not that hard. That's last episode. Take a listen.
Okay. Anyway.
And because we're not alone.
Anyway, we know how we do here. We have a special person with us.
We brought in a special person. Maybe you've heard of him. Alex Estrada. Okay, first of all, he's about to be in an episode of Mr. Robot that comes out November 15th. So fame and fortune, here we come.
Yeah. You blink and you will miss me.
Well, then I won't blink.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, no.
Well, just the whole time.
I'll be very dry.
He also just had two spanks at UCB, and they're coming back,
baby. They're coming back, baby. Brandon Content will set you free, and the Scumbags of 77, those are the titles.
Oh, good title.
Honestly, I love those.
The titles is the entire spank.
Yeah, that's it. You just repeat the titles for a half hour.
Basically.
Honestly.
You know, branded content will set you free. A lot of people are on this branded content deal, so it's topical.
Yeah,
good for you.
It's, you know, topical before it all destroys us, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, wow. Absolutely. Wow. And again, thank you to our sponsors. You know. we do a regret of the week. I can't say regret today.
Regret.
Jeez Louise. Regret of the week.
Regret of the week. We just sort of a warm-up, if you will.
We do a little bit of a warm-up. Please chime in. Feel free. I'll start this week. So I was going to my parents' house, and there's a bus by my apartment that leads to Flushing Main Street. Then I can hop on a bus that goes to Bayside, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And it's much quicker than going into Manhattan, taking a long road. Anyway, so the bus was coming, and it was Sunday, so it was like not going to be a lot of buses coming. So I was running downstairs to catch the bus, and I heard a fire alarm going off in my building. So the past week, I've been cooking a lot. So I cooked, and my fire alarm goes off often when I cook, because smoke. Even if you don't see smoke, smell smoke, it'll just go off.
Oh.
So when I was running to get the bus, I was like, I smelled cooking, and I was like, didn't smell burning. I just smelled somebody cooking and a fire alarm. And I was like, oh, someone's cooking. Exactly what happened to me 2 days ago, and I ran out. And then I ran to the bus, and I was like, oh my God, what if there was a fire? And I had an immediate panic that, like, I left somebody dying. But this is where my brain immediately went. There is a fire going on. I'm panicking. I'm being a bad Samaritan. But, like, the bus was coming. So I literally texted my boyfriend. I was like, please go check to make sure there is.
Go die in a fire.
Right. So, but I had to be like, hi, how are you? Can you go check? He's not the best, but he did answer. He took a second, put on his shoes, all that. Get dressed and go check. He did check, so it made me feel better.
Yeah.
But I should have just stopped and looked, because the bus really did take another, like, 10 minutes. I did probably have the time, but I immediately went into panic. One of my friends did tell me that, like, the alarms in the apartment building would have sounded if there was, like, a major thing. But so my regret is that I didn't just stop and check, because I don't like to feel like I'm being a bad neighbor, especially with hazard. There's a lot of kids in my building.
Right. You got to look out for
a lot
of
elderly people.
Yeah.
And I just wish I would have went and just said, Tracy, because then you do. I do the, you know, the anxiety thing and make my boyfriend go look at it. And that's not fun.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was my regret of the week.
Well, yeah, there you go. Everyone's safe.
It's funny because I had sort of a similar, I wouldn't necessarily call it a public-minded panic attack
that
happened. And I guess this counts as a week because this happened on Friday night. And so
We're going to count it.
It happened within the calendar week. So what happened was my wife told me that she was going to go out after work for some drinks with her work friends. We both work at the same place, work for the Department of Education for the City of New York.
Hell yeah.
Great agency. My boss is the kids. That's what I like
yes,
to say.
Yes, my boss is the kids.
So they don't know anything. No, I'm just kidding. And so she said she was going out for work or for drinks after work. And so I was like, all right, cool. I'll see you home. We'll do dinner together. We'll, you know, walk our dog. We have a dog. She's great. And so, you know, I go home. I'm texting her that I'm on my way back. I had to meet up with John Sartori.
Yes.
We both know a friend, a collaborator of mine. And so I texted my wife and said, hey, I'm coming home. Do you want to do dinner together? No response.
Oh,
and so I'm just like, okay, like, you know, it's fine. She's probably still out having a good time. You know, maybe she's grabbing dinner, whatever. You know, it takes me an hour to get back home because I live in Bay Ridge. Nothing.
Yeah.
So around 10 o'clock, I'm watching Gossip Girl by myself. Yes, I walk the dog at this point. You know, it's a typical Friday night, but there's still no response.
Yeah.
And the thing is with my wife, generally, if we're going to be late, if a plan changes, especially for something like dinner or walking the dog, like you just say, like, hey, I'm held
up.
Hey, this is going on. So so I call. And, you know, when you call, that's like the next thing.
You're supposed to
pick up and just say, like, hey, I'm fine. Don't bug me, whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing. It rings a couple of times.
Oh,
it goes
to
voicemail. I'm just like, you know, oh, hey, you know, I just.
So then me, you know it's on.
Letting you know it's on. You know, just give me a call back. Nothing. So 2 hours later, I'm up.
No.
I send a text like, I'm going to bed. Please text me when you're on your way home.
So many of you.
I put it down. I stay awake for the next 3 hours watching more Gossip Girl.
What?
I'm in season 5 at this point, and still nothing. So then I call her again.
Oh my!
And I never.
You didn't reach out to a coworker?
I mean, okay. So that's
sorry.
No, that was my first thing.
Well, I would be hitting up those coworkers.
Well, that's the thing. So what happens is, so at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's not picking the phone. I whip out her computer and I start. She doesn't have her phone there. She'd actually just gotten a new phone. Her old one was there, but not the new one with the SIM card in it. And so I start going through, you know, her emails just to say, like, when was the last time she checked an email? She would have sent an email if she'd lost her phone someone do that. The last one had been checked at, like, 8 o'clock or something.
Yeah.
She'd posted an Instagram story around the same time and then, like, nothing.
Okay, dead
so,
phone.
Like, so, exactly. So I'm thinking, like, okay, something
seven
horrible.
Hours.
7 hours. Something horrible has happened. She didn't let me know. And she forgot about the dog and dinner.
Oh, my
God. And you never do that.
No.
And so.
And bye. Asleep.
Goodbye.
And so, like, I wait a couple more hours. Like, I'm Googling, like. Like, you know, what to do if, you know, what to do if a loved one has died? It was like that, or you think they're missing or whatever.
Oh, yeah, been there, baby.
And so, yeah, so with all the missing person reports and everything else, they say, like, as soon as you think that something is wrong, you should go out, you know, get the information and do it. And so 6 o'clock the morning rolls around.
No, absolutely not. This would have been the biggest fight of my life.
So I pick up the phone. I call.
Did you even sleep a wink?
I didn't sleep at all.
Oh,
because I'm waiting up. I'm also thinking, like, all right, I tried turning off the lights and going to bed.
Doesn't work.
But
doesn't matter.
I'm waiting to listen. Like, all right, the town car will pull up. The door will close. There'll be some sign that she's like it was just late night and she's just coming home now. Nothing. So daylight's coming in. I call the missing persons hotline. They're like, oh, you can't actually report missing people on this hotline. It's you have to go in person because they have to do a canvas or something.
What?
And so at around 6:30, I find her, one of the coworkers she went out with. I call him. He doesn't pick up. I leave a message
6:30.
Saying, like, 6:30, because I know it's early, but at this point, I'm freaked out.
Oh, my God.
I text three of her close female friends. And I'm like, hey, my wife, she didn't come home last night. She didn't tell me what was happening. If you see her and she's safe, whatever, please let me know. Because I'm also thinking, like, all right, maybe she's mad at me. Maybe this is part of, like.
No, I thought.
I don't know. You know, it's because you hear that thing all the time. People who just, like, pick up and, like, go. So my mind's running through, like, all the worst case scenarios. I take the one photo I have of her, which is from her grad school graduation. I walk to the police precinct after walking our dog. I show up there. I'm telling them, you know, basically everything that I told you guys. And they're like, chances are your wife's probably intoxicated and passed out at a friend's house. I'm like, yes, but you know, if she was, she would have called the dog.
Right. Or
she
the person who had, took her would
right.
have.
Right. Would have
insane.
Let me know. So I go home. It's I think it's like 7 by this point in time.
Don't they say the first 24 hours are the most important?
Right, thank right, you. Right. We're yeah. like we're at 12 here.
Yeah,
and
we're
it's 12 like,
here. Yeah,
it's like we're halfway to
come
the,
on
through just, the most important.
I would have been killing
oh,
myself.
God. Yeah, exactly. So I finally get a hold of the coworker, and they're just like, oh yeah, she's here. You know, she's passed out.
Biggest fight of my life.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
How did you
I'm
lose
not at everybody?
Oh, I mean, like on the phone, I was just like, well. You know, give her a, you know, let
give
her know she really worried me.
Yeah. I went to a fucking police station.
Yeah, exactly. And I slammed the phone and I was just like, because yeah, the entire time before, like building up, like with each
oh
like
God.
Stage of realization, it's like, fuck. Like I shaved. That was another thing I did because I had this big beard and I was just like.
They're going to think you did it.
No,
just kidding.
Well, yeah. The husband is always
right.
the first.
But it was just like, part of the was it like, was not going to sleep and just feeling like,
oh
I was just like,
God.
I have to do something to like get my mind off of this because I'm just going to spin in circles. And so I 4 o'clock in the morning, I gave myself a shave. It was fine. It was fine.
Oh, God.
The dog didn't get any sleep because I was like pacing around and watching Gossip Girl all night. It was a
did
thing.
You, what did you, I want to know, did you have a fight?
Sort of. I mean, like, she came back, you know, I was very much like, you know, I'm very upset with you.
That's like a very nice
No, like, I sat her down, I like basically walked her through the entire night of like what I did.
She must have felt bad.
She felt real bad. And so like, I got in like an angry nap for like 3 hours and we went to a diner and it was fine afterwards. I regret not going to sleep. I should have just gone to bed.
But how
no,
can
absolutely
you?
Absolutely not.
Know.
Absolutely not. I'm mad at her.
You are?
I am mad
oh,
at her.
No.
So easy
alcohol.
To text. And a friend, too. I'm mad at the friend. I'm mad at all your coworkers who know you.
Yeah.
Do they know you?
Wait,
the nerve.
It was one coworker and his wife. I don't even know why I'm defending.
I'm so angry.
No,
I'm
I think
so mad.
Also, nowadays, everybody has a charger.
Right. A charger or a phone. You know, your
everybody
email.
Has a phone charger.
Yeah, something.
Her phone didn't die.
It
rang.
It didn't
so
die.
She
got,
didn't even have
she
that
got,
excuse.
No, she got like blackout drunk. And passed out at their place.
Listen, first of all,
blackout.
Girl, like when you're getting halfway there, you can be like, P.S., I'm getting drunk. I'll figure, I don't know. I
right.
To be honest, I don't know. But I feel like you did a great thing.
Yeah.
I hope you told the police the first 24
panic.
Hours are the most important.
I should have. Yeah,
I would quote it back
situation.
To them.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, this is what they said on CSI.
Oh,
okay.
No. Then I would have had to admit I watched CSI, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank God you had Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah.
To be with you throughout.
I get it.
You know,
it.
I can't
I
imagine
it.
Another
yeah,
beacon.
She's
at home.
I feel your struggle.
Oh, she's
yeah.
the
I
it
really do.
Girl.
She is your girl.
Have you ever seen her make a cupcake? Watch her Vogue 76 questions.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. She's a baker. They, you know what he calls her kitchen? I forgot
she's
her husband's
baker
name.
Baker Lively.
Or they call it the Blakery.
The Blakery?
Oh, okay.
That's
oh,
what her
man.
Husband calls it.
And then he
it.
Jumps in front of a train, right?
Yeah.
And then he
Deadpool.
Kills himself, which, you know what? A way to go, for sure.
Oh, sure.
That's the way I want to go. I want to have a good pun, and then right in
and
front
then,
of that
yeah.
train.
And then just done. Pun and done.
My regret is truly nothing in comparison.
Yeah.
It's truly nothing in comparison.
Well, don't put it down.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So everyone who knows me knows I have luscious, beautiful hair. That's like that's like what people mm-hmm. always say. Mm-hmm. Jessie with her luscious, beautiful hair. It's just so beautiful. It's so long at this point. I don't know. You see how long?
Yeah.
I don't know how it got this long. It is so long.
It's all the way down to your back.
I know.
Your hair grows.
It's very long. So anywho, my luscious hair, blah, blah, blah. So I've been, my shower has an issue, which is like sometimes after a few months, it'll be like this humongous, like, animal of hair
right.
is trapped down there.
Yeah.
Now I thought I'd been doing a very good job of like the old like twist with the finger of all my hair and then make a little clump ball and then throw it in the garbage when I get out of the
yeah.
shower.
Oh, is
that's
that,
what women
is that,
do.
That's the trick?
It's a clump ball.
We try, ball. But it doesn't necessarily make sure the drain isn't getting clogged.
We
put
try.
It on the wall or you put it on the
You put it on the wall.
Yeah.
I put it right on my little sink edge and then I throw it right in the garbage. Sometimes
yeah,
I'll throw it right in the garbage. My cat is sometimes in the bathroom with me when I shower and sometimes she'll stand right there that I don't want to drip on her head because then it
yeah.
feels like,
also, I feel
what
like
an aggressive
play with
move.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, she would play with it. She would do weird things with it. But you know what? She's pretty good about it.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Point is, luscious hair. Okay. So the other day, I'm home, and then I go to take a shower, and, like, the water is not going down. So you know what that means. So then I get out this weird tool I bought that's, like, I'm going to get this hair myself.
Oh, you have a snake?
I have, like, a weird snake, I guess, with, like, ridges.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a snake.
Yeah,
a little,
I have that.
Okay.
But does it go through?
So I take my thing, and I go in and I think I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm picturing myself because I'm naked and I'm wet and I'm crouching.
And you're using a tool.
And I'm just like, this photo. But and I'm trying to get it and I'm poking and I'm getting like not a lot and mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. But I thought I did it. Didn't do it. Because then it got angry. I think I, to be honest, I think I angered it and maybe like pushed it back up. I don't know what I did.
Oh.
But everything got worse after that.
So were you able to get the stick back out?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Did you try using
nothing.
There's a little, but yeah.
Did you try using a plunger?
No.
It plunges it back up.
What?
Yeah. Like if you use a plunger, you can use a plunger on a like a sink or a shower drain and it should, you know, plunge it back up.
Well, I didn't do that. I used my stupid snake that I bought because I thought it was for this particular thing.
It has lots of purposes, but yeah, you can use a plunger
it is.
Too.
It is for the particular thing.
Yeah. So anyhow, then I'm like, great, I can't shower. So then I call my super, who mm-hmm. I really love and truly respect. And sometimes I don't understand what his hours are, but he was like, I can come at 4 or like tomorrow. And I'm like, well, I won't be home at 4 and like I have to shower. So like, what's another option? And then he gets angry. We have this whole thing. It's like we're fighting. Then I'm like, well, I got a little testy with him, I feel like, because I just was upset. And he's telling me like, nope, there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, OK, well, I'll be showering in the street then. Or like, do you want to tell B12? I'll be walking on over in a towel.
Oh, I'm confused what happened. Was your
it just wasn't draining, right?
No, the water wasn't going down at all. It was just like a pool of water in there.
Okay.
Which is really grossing me out.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
And I can't shower because I can't shower with gross water. As you
got it.
That's fair.
And thank you.
Yeah.
So but then so he says, tell me when you get home. So I get home, I call him, he gives me a lot of stink. Lot of toot.
Wow.
Which if someone gives me toot, I toot right back. So then I'm tooting.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, fine, I'll come now. And I'm like, okay. And he comes and he brings this other guy too. So now there's two guys and my cat's hiding under the bed. I know. Two guys, one drain.
How big is your building, by the way? How many units?
Six floors?
I have no idea.
Two sides.
How many units.
Sides 12?
Yeah. Four on each floor.
I'm just curious.
Or maybe like 50?
Okay.
Yeah, 50 units.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a pretty good relationship with mine, but I wonder if like ones with like the bigger units like tend to be crabbier. Because I notice the smaller the building, the more intimate the
I do like that. Like I like that my landlord is right below me and my mm-hmm. super is like this guy that, you know, it feels like it's a weird relation. It's not a building person. It's like this guy who's like, oh, come on. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, I can't shower. Like, I mean, to the point where I can, like, we can give each other a toot and I can convince him to come, which, by the way, it's such a spectacle. They have, like, this drill. They are drilling.
They have
like,
to get the thing off.
It is so, they're not plungering.
Right.
Okay. They have a machine. It takes, like, forever. They're sweating. They're switching on and off. It's, like, quite a to do. And I'm like, it's because of my luscious, beautiful hair,
you know, that
it has to be it, and they get it, you know, which I almost vomit when I see it.
No,
crazy
I can't look at
it's
it.
My hair.
Yeah.
No, but it's not
it's
your
you.
Hair.
It's not
it's
just my hair.
It was your hair.
Of everything.
Thank you.
Right.
It's also lint and
it's a lot.
Everything.
You understand?
Right.
It's soap buildup.
It's so
it's
much stuff. But
it's really disgusting.
It's a lot.
Last week I tried to unclog my drain too, and I tried to find a screwdriver to literally unopen it and do that so that I wouldn't have to use Drano or anything.
Mm.
And I couldn't put the screwdriver together.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't close the toolbox, so I had to wait until Matt got home.
Listen, it can be hard.
Feminism.
I mean, I was crouched. I tried.
Right.
But they had tools, like a tool for this, and they were switching on and off.
Right.
And they were cursing and they were sweating. And it was
that's
intense.
A common thing.
It was intense.
Yeah.
See, I think my super would say, I don't unclog drains.
Oh,
he just pass it off. He just say, this isn't my problem.
Oh. That's what I think he would say.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, I like my super, but I think he does certain things.
Oh, so
but then what is he would have to do it?
Contract it out, right?
I've never called a super to unclog a drain.
Oh, my God. I do love my super for that. I mean, I can ask him
I never
to
thought
help
to.
Me with AC, mm-hmm. change a light bulb. That
well,
bad?
That's.
I don't think it's bad. I mean, like.
My super would say no.
I've had a super change a light bulb before, but only because it was a very high ceiling.
It's a high ceiling.
It's
I
a high
can't
ceiling.
Reach it.
You
know, yeah.
Conventional ladder doesn't work.
Thank you. I mean, I don't have a ladder even.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a problem waiting to happen. I'm a lawsuit just in the making. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Because we had a fuse blowout, and we said, can you come? We didn't know. And he was like, no, I don't do that. You have to go buy fuses and do it yourself.
What? Whoa.
Yeah.
I think that's a liability. In a blackout situation.
Oh, it was a blackout.
Well, not a blackout.
It was like one fuse went off.
Okay.
But you could really hurt yourself.
Yeah, and if you've never done it before,
surprised the landlord.
No, it's just like this and this.
All right. Well, yeah, you take it and turn it on, but I don't know.
You can get electrocuted.
In any case, if I get electrocuted, this is proof. This podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I don't know if it's the super or the landlord. I don't know who that would be. Long story short, I was mad at myself that I got tooed. I did. I said, I don't love that part. I mean, then when he came, I was so gracious and thankful. And we had a great time, the three of us. This other guy I had never met before in my life. And, you know, I was like, why can't we just laugh about it now? And also, why would you say you have such insane hours? Why would you say that?
I think it's because they're always on call.
Right.
So if they're out with family, they're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So it's like because they're on call at 3 a.m, if they are not around at noon, it's like, I'm not around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just hard when it's a certain situation where someone's like, I have to.
I need this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're fine. We're on good terms. Someone's getting a good Christmas bonus.
Oh, yeah. The Christmas
bonus.
Yeah.
And like a little present. Like, I love a present.
It wasn't like your refrigerator went out and you were losing all the food.
Right.
No.
So, you know.
Well, the trick to that, you just keep the door closed in that case.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
anyway, this is the New York City Living. This podcast is now called New York City Living.
New York City
They say it's a renting market. You better be renting. You better have a super. You know what I mean?
That's
what they say.
That's what they say.
I feel better. Thank you for letting me do that. And thank you for staring at my luscious hair.
Oh, it's great.
People at home are like, what is it even?
So, Alex,
you also have luscious hair, Alex.
Oh, thank
you.
You do.
Yeah, I combed it today.
Ooh. Wow, big day.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Now that your wife isn't missing, you're doing a bunch of things.
I'm living single. No.
You were ready to go. You uploaded Bumble again.
Oh, you were buzzing around. Bumble.
No.
Man.
I don't like Bumble.
I actually met my wife on OkCupid.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What a story. Who messaged first?
I did with a pun, actually.
What was your pun?
Oh, my gosh. So my my wife. The stranger at the time.
Sure.
On her profile, she listed that she had a soft spot for grits, and so I messaged her and I said, you know, if I were to open a grits place, I would make it hip hop themed and call it Bone Thugs and Hominy. That's very good. And then 4 years later, we're fucking married.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A pun that started
I was very lucky. She was the second person I met off online dating.
Okay, I'm actually going to go kill myself. Thank you so much for coming.
I mean,
it's crazy.
That's why I came.
To
dig your grave.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just say something nice at the funeral.
Oh, man.
I beg of you.
Well, he'll make a pun.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So we want to know your biggest, whatever you came to tell us.
We know you came armed.
I brought that today, but I brought some other goodies.
Yeah. I love
so
that.
Please enlighten us.
Well, let's see. I won't start with the big one, but I will talk about one of the larger ones.
Okay.
I guess I'll work up to the regret. So, so after law school, I met this woman. Met this woman in law school. We dated, and after about a year of dating, we moved in with each other. And things were okay for a bit. You know, we were living in East Village, still like kind of affordable over there. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like things were okay with me. I was clerking in New Jersey, doing like a post law school clerkship. It's a thing. You work for a judge. My judge was great. Liked her a lot.
Shout out to the judge.
Shout out to the judge, Judge Mayer, New Brunswick, Mass Torts. And so at the time, so my clerkship, the thing with clerkships is that they're temporary.
Oh.
And so towards the end of my year, I had to find another job, and I was interviewing in a bunch of different places. And this is also during the legal recession, or I guess it was the Great Recession. But during that time, like legal services contracted like a crazy amount. Like,
right.
Lots of my friends lost their jobs. Mm. Like a lot of people who had offers, like the firms they like closed or like pulled them back, and like that kind of thing was terrible. And so it was really, really tough to get a job. And at the time, I was trying to work in government. And so government was basically like not hiring. And so my sort of best lead for a job was to work for New York Legal Aid, which provides indigent criminal defense services for people in the area. And so I made it through the last round, and they were like, okay, like, you know, you're in consideration, like we're waiting on funding. It might be like a couple of months, but like, we'll let you know. And I was like, all right, cool. I really want this job. Like, yeah. So I was still like sending out resumes right. and everything else. But yeah, but my job ended. I went on unemployment. And because I don't want to say that I thought I had this job. But I thought like, oh, you know.
Good chances.
There's a good chance of this job. I'm still interviewing. It's a bad market. Like, I'll just take my time. So in addition to like looking for a job, like I just start sort of laying around the house. I start playing a lot of video games. I was really into World of Warcraft at the time.
Of course, blast.
Of course, because you know it's just what the guys were doing back then.
Yeah and sure. guess what? Still doing.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Who are these men in
World of Warcraft?
Oh yeah, man,
it exists.
And my girlfriend at the time, at first she's like, oh cool, we'll be able to spend time together. But then she found out that she failed the New York bar.
Ooh, that's rough.
And yeah, and it's tough because you especially in like a bad job market, you really can't go out there and be like, hey, I can't even practice law right now.
Right.
And so she ends up taking a job in a restaurant, which she enjoys. And so I'm just like, all right, so you've got this job, like, you know, that you don't love, but which is fine for you now. I'm looking. It's okay. So like 2 or 3 months goes by of like of this just being the reality. Like she gets up, she goes to her job. I'm, right. you know, she comes back. I'm at, you know, playing World of Warcraft in the living room in my underwear. And it's not ideal. And so, you know, eventually like the, you know, the space just kind of grows. Like, you know, we stop spending a lot of time to get with each other. And it basically gets to a point where we're—I don't know if this is a meta. Like we're not doing it like we used to.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, I'm not going to say if I was in my sexual peak or not. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, like, you know, it starts to be like months yes. of like absolutely nothing. And you know, at one point we're walking back from dinner. She's just like, yeah, I think the thing is, like, right now I'm just not really attracted to you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, like that. You know, that hurts to say, and I sort of get it. But yeah, but like, let's talk about it. Like, I want to like commit to making this work and everything else. She retakes the bar. She fails again.
Oy, oh boy.
And,
not great for her.
And like, and I also, I get a law job, that I hate. Oh yeah. That was the other thing too. I ended up, so Legal Aid comes back to me and is like, oh, you didn't get it. Like we got less funding. We're hiring half a class. You're not in that half.
Yeah.
And so it's just like all bad news. I'm like, all right, well, that's 2.5 months on this couch. My girlfriend hates me, whatever.
And so, whatever, yada yada.
And so eventually it's just like, I'm trying to talk about like, oh, what are things that I can do to change? And she's just like, you know, basically like, no, it's not really anything you can do to change. Like, it's just like a phase I have to go through, whatever. Mm-hmm. So eventually gets to the point where, so we're just having these long periods of time where we're not talking with each other. And I'm just like, she's staying out late at this job. Like, what's going on? Like, it's changed. I got to find out if something's going on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So she'd saved her her email on my computer. I log on I search my name.
Oh.
Because why not? And I see that she has a correspondence with a friend of hers. The friend asks, how are things with Alex?
No.
Not great. I just know that I noticed that he's not as confident as he used to be. He used to be so much, you know, like funny, so funny and outgoing. And it's just changed. I think he might be gay.
Wow. Well, that's a leap.
I mean, yeah. That's the thing. I was just, and of course, like I can't say anything. I can't do anything because I did the bad thing. It's fruit of the poisonous tree. I can't use the evidence in court.
Yes.
Because I what's it called?
Wow.
I
went in, you're a lawyer.
Yeah, yes. You knew exactly
all the rules.
Knew all the rules. And so I'm just like, all right. Like I just have to like do this. I can't be mad about it because I did the wrong thing. I can't bring it up, even though it's like really
that's
upsetting.
Bad.
And so it's just sitting there festering for like another couple of weeks. And then I end up getting a job. I go to visit my judge, the good Judge Mayer.
Yes.
And on my way back on the train, she texts me. She's like, hey, was looking through your internet history.
Shut up. So she's now looking through your shit?
We're both peeping on each other.
Oh man. It's done. What's done is done.
Right.
Stop it.
But, so like we end up.
I don't even know how to homeboy. Look at internet history.
Homeboy, did you graduate in 1997? Clear that fucking internet history.
I don't know.
His computer.
It's my
clear it.
Listen, she shouldn't have called you out if you were both playing the same lawyer game.
Oh, we're both playing the same.
Well, she didn't pass the bar. That's why
she never passed, as far as I know. The sad thing is, I didn't end the My regret is not ending the relationship at that point because we dated for a year after that.
No.
Yeah, we did, and it's just it was. Looking back, it was. It was was terrible. It ended very, very poorly. And it should have just been done then. But I think the thing is, because of the market, we were both very scared because we had this apartment together.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we ended up, I think we got the, did we get the cat that year? We might have got the cat that year. So that was
who
just
kept
like,
the cat?
Oh, she got the cat.
Yeah.
She got the cat. She got the apartment. Aww. She got it all.
Well, you're married now.
I'm married, and I got the dog.
Yes, the dog. But okay, so I have a question for you. So did you ever bring up the gay thing?
Oh, to her? Definitely.
Well, it came out because she knew you were.
Exactly.
Right.
So we got back and we talked about it. And her defense was essentially like, you know, the email is not my thoughts. Like, well, she's like, well, the email are my thoughts, but like not my true thoughts. Like, you know, sometimes I like free associate. Like I was asking my gay friend because, you know, I don't know. It's just like things have been really bad with us lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this is the thing. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I get it. Like things have been real awful. You know, tell you the truth. I've been sad because I don't have a fucking job and you're not talking to me anymore.
Right.
And then I think at that point, I think I told her this once. I definitely thought it. And this is a terrible thing to say. But I said, like, you know, what's letting me move forward is knowing that you could leave at any point in time.
Wait.
What?
Hold on.
Yeah.
I have to
figure
out.
What's moving me forward is knowing you can leave at any time.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
More like recognizing like that
she's choosing to stay.
Yeah, that you're choosing to stay now.
Right.
Like, you know, that, you know, like the thing is like it was a very eloquent way, I think, not eloquent at all. It was a way of saying like, I recognize that you could be done with this, so I'm going to treat our relationship accordingly, like that kind of thing.
Fuck you.
Yeah, like fuck you.
Got
like,
it.
You know, not like I went on like, you know, crazy benders, but just like in the back of my head, I was just like, she could leave at any moment. Like,
so who gives a shit what I do?
Who gives a shit what happens? Exactly.
I got it.
And like things got like a little better after that for a bit, and then my parents died, and then
So, well, that's gonna knock you off your fucking
right.
Goodbye to everything.
Goodbye
you know?
To all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a story.
That's a fucking story, man. That's one.
I mean, I think like sitting there, because I've talked to a lot of people, different from law school, but because law school, it's like you picked the thing.
Right.
I think I know a lot of people that graduated after college did not know what they were going to do and end up sitting, playing fucking video games, smoking pot. Just like miserable.
Yeah.
And sitting for months and being like, I don't know what to do. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, sort of like, well, I'll sit here and I'll play just for a little bit to make myself feel good.
Right.
But then, and I'll smoke this fucking doobie, but then I'll...
Yeah, I'll do the heroin.
Shut up. But no, but then
you'll
feel... Yeah. And then you just feel bad.
Yeah.
And it starts to get worse.
Right.
You know, what she essentially said was she wasn't... She used to be confident.
Yeah.
So she was attracted to your confidence and then that disappeared.
Right.
But it's also like... I think everyone lost their confidence.
Right. No, but I also think like that... That makes sense why it disappeared.
Right, of course.
It's, so, I mean, like, it's all sick. It's all like affecting each other.
Yeah, it's like a, what is snake eating its own asshole?
Yes.
An Ouroboros, yes.
Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah, the snake that eats its own tail. It's an Ouroboros.
Oh, wow. I never knew it was called that.
There you go.
I just consider it like a snake that's not thinking. But is that like an
snake,
actual...
A snake that's not thinking?
I'm just like, oh, he doesn't know it's his own tail. But can't he feel it? I don't know how
it's got a lot of different symbolic meanings in several different cultures. But yeah, I don't know if it represents ignorance. I mean, I guess, that is one way to think that the snake doesn't know that it's eating its own tail. My dog sometimes doesn't know that she chews her own tail.
Exactly. So. Yeah. They're always like, who the fuck?
I'm gonna kill this thing behind me.
Also, like when they see the mirror and they're like, "What is this?"
Bitch?
Who is she?
I recently found out that dogs cannot perceive themselves in mirrors. I mean, see a dog, but they don't know that it's them.
Yeah, and they're really fucking smart. I just saw a dog who was like doing yoga online, like with his owner. Literally, was doing a downward dog.
Right.
She taught him to paint, but they don't know it's her own mirror.
Right.
It's crazy.
Dogs.
Or, you know, whatever.
They're amazing animals, yeah.
I love them.
They're like dolphins.
So yeah. Oh, they're a lot like dolphins. Yeah. Well, and,
You
the only fact I know about dolphin is not a good one.
Oh, yeah. It's the rape thing, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you. It's the rape the thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Dolphins also rape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that's okay. That's okay. They're also... fun
so
to swim
like
with.
Us.
No.
Oh
yes. Oh, geez. And we're down again. Okay. That is such a story to me.
I do think that when you're sad, though, you surround yourself with someone who will, like, keep you sad. If you don't want to be happy and you just want to be sad, you'll find someone who's like, I could be sad with you. And then you're like, okay. And then when you want to change that, you kind of look around and you're like, you might not be right for me.
Yeah, that explains the first 28 years. That's real.
Same.
Family and friends. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, Lord.
Why? Yeah.
I mean, and again, shout out to your wife. There we go.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Shout out to her. And
shout out to her. So one blackout night. Yeah, the rest is not, it's not goose peeping on each other.
Not peeping.
No
peeping.
Hey, peeping. I did log into her email to find out if she was okay.
I did that to Jesse once.
You did?
She did.
Yeah, because she was on this plane, whatever. We've had this before.
Plane.
I had people reach out to me.
I fly sometimes. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
I had people reach out to me saying we were supposed to meet Jesse on a plane. She ended up taking an earlier flight. And so I had to check. And then I was like, oh, she took an Uber. And I'd tell them. Anyway.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I listen when planes say turn your phone off is all I have to say. I'm like, yeah. I'm not messing
around. Our phones are all on airplane mode.
Oh, they're
even
on
right
airplane.
Now.
Yeah. Where I'm not. This isn't a joke.
That's
attention.
That was a solid regret. That was a story.
That's a great one.
Well, it's fun because it blends into my next.
Please
big
do.
Regret.
I feel like you. This
Listen,
is your next bank,
your
baby.
Podcast, baby. We're just here for the ride. Just I was going to say, I've heard of people who break up though and continue living together, and I think that's weird.
That's a New York way.
That happened to me. Yeah. Okay, that's another. Okay, I'm going to have.
I'm sorry. I'm you got time, baby.
All right, so I'll go back. Let me jump back further.
Sure.
So before that, so earlier in law school.
Yeah.
I met this woman in college, very, very intelligent woman, very ambitious.
Mm. Shut up, by the way, if I could just start you. You are calling everyone women, and I really appreciate it.
What do they normally call them?
I don't know, a lot of people are like, girl, which I say girl a lot, but like when men say, like, I was, anyway, I just, you're saying women, it's very respectful.
I appreciate it.
Just go ahead.
So I was dating this woman, and it was sort of, it didn't follow necessarily the same pattern, So I came out to New York the year before she graduated to do law school. And so we did the long distance thing for the first year that I was out here. And so she was also applying to law school. She had great test scores, fantastic GPA.
I love that.
She actually had the more A pluses than A's in the history of UC Davis, where I went to undergrad.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was a smart
she
cookie.
Set a record.
Yeah. She was great. She went to NYU Law.
Jesus.
But the thing is, so part and parcel to that is that she was very, very driven. And so as a result, she was very focused on her studies. And and the thing is, over time, it became, kind of clear that we might not have been right for each other. She definitely was on more of like the very, like a super corporate track.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, if she was going to make partner or something. She actually ended up interning for Arthur Miller, who's one of the foremost civil procedure experts in the United States.
This girl.
Yeah, she was. No,
I just said girl.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Now you're going to jail. So we sort of started gradually moving apart. And the thing is, like, as time went on, like, you're in law school, you drink a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You drink, you get drunk. And when you get drunk, you say things.
Yes.
And so. the thing is, so we started having, sort of this thing where, it would be a pattern, like we'd go out, we wouldn't have a great time, we'd walk back to our apartment, which was in, the NYU law dorms or something on Mercer, and she just, let me have it for something.
Right.
And so, like, I remember one particular night back, we couldn't get into a club.
The
club. Yeah, people went out to the clubs back
then.
Yes.
Work hard, play hard.
2007, 2008. And, her friends want to go, and I don't want to go. I'm just like, I hate standing in line. I hate standing in line for things I might not get.
Oh,
I never stand in line for phones or anything
it's
else.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah, exactly.
Club is a joke.
I can't remember. I think it was, like, Greenhouse or something.
Fuck that. Greenhouse bullshit.
Unless
what are you
helping
saving?
The environment. You
yeah,
better
that down.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, we're letting in people who are paying for bottle service and that's it. And
I was
like,
my dick.
I'm not doing it. So we're walking back and I'm just like, I really didn't want to go out tonight. And she's like, oh, you never want to do anything. You're useless. I could be with someone who's so much smarter than you. Someone
that's
who's,
rough.
So we start having nights like that.
It's like a mental game.
And
that's rough.
And they happen a couple of times in a row. We're also at a thing where we're not having sex for like a year. That happened because she did not want to get pregnant. That was her big thing.
Okay.
So, we didn't do it for like a year.
I'm sorry.
I'm just asking
Home
a question.
Girl did what?
Yeah.
If abstinence is what you want, bitch, get it. Yeah. Bitch, get it. Abstinence all the way.
Of course.
But, I mean, it is the safest.
But
that's
there
what
are,
they say.
It's 100% effective.
Of course, yeah.
So no shitting on the abstinence. Choose.
Choose
but was that a conversation of like, What
you
about
both?
What
have?
About condoms? Or was it just? I mean, no, we don't want any risk.
It was no risk.
Did you ever have sex or never?
We had before, like in college, and when she came to visit, that's all you do basically.
Yeah.
But once we were both living together in New York, it basically stopped.
Interesting.
And we were for like a year and a half, like I don't even think we maybe christened the NYU Law Dorms like once.
Yeah.
What ended up happening is this happens again. We're out at night. We go see her friends. She has these other male friends at NYU Law, nice guys, who end up canceling. They decided like, oh, we just want to get high and stay in tonight, which is fine.
I respect that.
Fine. Right.
I know you.
Those are my type of fellas.
And so like we're drinking and they let her know like, hey, we're not coming out. So we're just like, oh, let's go to Pomfrey, then we'll go home. And this is when Pomfrey was still at Second Avenue.
That was rough.
We're in line.
Hate lines.
I mean, at least at Pomfrey they will serve you if you're not wearing whatever or buying a bottle. And so she's like, I can't fuck those guys. They're such assholes. They didn't come out tonight. I wanted to meet Jenna, who's a mutual friend from college of ours.
Yeah.
And they're such pricks. Da da da. And I was like, yeah, it's unfortunate they didn't come out. I can understand like some nights you just want to stay in, and she was just like, what's fucking wrong with you? you never have my back. You're always on their. These are her friends. You never have my back. You're always on their side. You're garbage. You're a piece of shit. And I was just like, I'm saying like she's just like
verbal abuse. How old were you?
I was 20. God, what year? This is 2009. So I was 24. My last year.
Okay. Everyone's trash at 24. Yeah, go ahead. 24.
We're all trash at 24. And it's a weird thing. We're walking back and like, I'm holding the fries. She's like, she's dipping them in. She's just saying like, you're just like, you're garbage. Like there's so many people out there.
You're holding the fries that you're just yelling and dipping.
Yeah. That image of you with your nice hair and you have a nice button up.
You know what you are.
Walking down Second Avenue, and then, cry.
And so eventually, she's just like, I could do so much better than you. And I look at her and I say, you know what? You probably should.
Good, finally.
And so at this point, she's taking the fries. I continue walking for a few feet. I turn around. Wiz right there by Cooper Union.
Yeah.
And she takes the fries and she throws them in the air.
After you waited on a line.
Late at
what
night.
Trash.
And she's like, I want you out. I want you gone. You're nothing to me.
You know what? Listen, smart in school. Street smarts, not so much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're talking about me. So what happens is, so I'm just like, okay, we get back to the dorm. She goes off to like get a water or something. I go upstairs. I start packing a suitcase. Wow. She comes in and is like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm leaving. I can't do this anymore. It's been bad for a long time. I want to break up. She's apologized. She's like, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I've just been so stressed and everything else. I'm like, hey, no, absolutely not. Like, tonight showed me that, we can't.
Yes.
We can't do it. She's like, well, just stay. Like, you have nowhere to go. My sister just moved out of the city and back to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't really have anyone else there. And so after like, half an hour, I'm going to leave, whatever, I decide to stay.
Yeah.
And I end up staying for 2 weeks.
Oof.
Okay.
Which was a mistake because so by the end of the, by like week and a half, like I start seeing someone else.
Oh.
Humble. Humble. I know it's abstinence only, but it's a little quickie.
It's a little quick.
You were broken up officially. Did she know that?
We were broken up officially. Okay. I said like, I'm what's it called? Like we're finishing out the semester. I think I said like, we don't have to tell your friends if you don't want to upset
trash,
them
bad,
or whatever.
Bad, bad.
If you don't want to upset them.
I don't know.
I know how they're very invested in our relationship.
And also the city is small.
It's a small city. The law school is small. Basically I'm just, I'm like, we're broken up, like, I understand if you don't want to like, let your parents know whatever yet. I won't say anything if you won't say anything. That's fine. So 2 weeks later, I'm seeing somebody. I get back to the apartment. She's vomiting into the toilet in her underwear. She'd gone to like a networking event or something, gotten trashed.
Got it.
Does she have a drinking problem?
We're attorneys. Listen, who knows?
We're attorneys. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
She'd asked me to pick her up a chicken sandwich dinner. I gave her a chicken sandwich.
You're a very nice person.
Basically,
I can't take you.
It's basically.
But then she threw the chicken sandwich out the window.
No, she didn't eat it. So we get back and she's just like, You're trying to buff somebody up, make them feel better. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, you're like, you're a great person. Like, you know, really, it's not, like, you know, it's just not right. Like, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. You know, I'm really sorry. And she's like, no, you're not sorry. You've been fucking, which is the name of the of the woman, the other woman that I was seeing.
Hi, shout out to.
No, she doesn't listen to podcasts.
Okay, we can do.
Yeah, we can bleep that. And so, and I'm just like, no, that hasn't happened. And it's true, it hadn't. Okay. And so she's just like, you know, did you see? Sorry, did you see this? Do you see this person? Yes. Did you kiss her? Yes. Is she your girlfriend? And you know, I was trained like not to lie as a kid.
Yes, of course.
But you guys had already had that conversation.
Not about dating other people, but like, so we definitely had the breakup conversation.
No, she's talking about the other girl that you were seeing.
Yeah,
like, you had talked.
You like said you're exclusive.
She was. No, we did not have that conversation.
Oh, got it.
She knew that I was still living at my ex-girlfriend's place.
Yes, and still went for you. 24.
Oh my gosh, at 24. And
I mean, talk about not being on the market.
Right. Yeah. And
you got a 2-day window.
That's
you.
The thing. It's just like, it's crazy how fast it moves. you know, it's a renter's market.
That's what they say.
And I was at the time a hot commodity.
Oh yeah.
For the folks at home, I was shaking my head no.
No, he was very violently.
So she asks, is she your girlfriend? And I say, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I said with a lot
Did
of trepidation.
Go up at the end?
I went up real high.
Oh boy.
Went up real high. So she's like, I want you out. And I was like, that makes perfect sense. I will do that. And so I'm doing
Can this. I take the chicken? No.
No, I can't. So she I'm throwing everything in. I get out. She says, hold on a second. And I was just like, I turn around because I forgot something. And she slaps me across the face. And
no,
the
abuse.
Yeah, so,
no, you don't slap anybody. This bullshit
not
about
the
women.
The person's getting out. No, I mean, they're already doing what
but
you asked.
Women can't slap men. And people are like, it's fine. It's not fine. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Ugh. Yeah. So we didn't end on a high note.
No, it ended on a slap.
On a slap.
Wow. Where'd you go?
Was it another girlfriend?
I went to a certain person's apartment.
Yes. Wow.
And I stayed there for a week, and then I went to my friends in Queens, and did that for like the last month. And I was in New York, and then went back to California, took the bar, and then moved back to New York.
Wow.
And and started seeing the woman who thought I was gay.
Yes, there we go.
And that's how we got her. God. There you go.
Was that not even the biggest regret? You're good at this.
It's not the biggest regret. No. So the biggest regret, we're talking about taking things down a bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just have to, I love to visualize that slap. You know what I mean? I just want to know. Because it's a real movie moment.
Mm-hmm.
Real movie moment.
Yeah.
First of all, because you're leaving, then she says, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. You forgot something?
Yeah, no. Like, she made it sound like I'd forgotten something.
That's some Sex in the City bullshit right there.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And so, like, turn around. It was solid. My face had to follow through, and then the door closed.
I really want everyone to Google pictures of Alex Estrada just so you see who she was slapping.
Such a sweet, professional-looking man.
Anyway, not that it matters.
He's
it's just like
you, a woman in bed and out of bed.
It's just
my
like
friend.
He's holding your fries while you're berating him.
He won't let go unless you say it anyway.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So biggest regret. Wow.
Biggest regret. So we're getting up to that. So fast forward. So you know, I'm seeing the woman thinks I'm gay. Whatever. and so in the summer of 2012, I find out. I'm told my father passed away, died of a heart attack. And that sort of begins like this, I guess you can call it a slide. I don't know. I mean, like, basically it leads to the end of the relationship with the woman I mentioned earlier when he filled the bar.
Yeah.
Loss of the apartment, loss of the cat.
Yeah.
I leave, move to Bay Ridge at that point. So this is like a weird 6-month period where I'm sort of starting to get into comedy.
Yeah.
I'm working at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey in their litigation department, which is a weird place. It's a different story. But generally I'm feeling very, very restless in my own life, very unsure of like of what's going on. There are a lot of changes happening. And my mom at this point, so my mom had been diagnosed with cancer as when I came to New York in 2006. And so she got in stage 4. She'd had breast cancer back in the 90s. went into remission. And then right around the time that I moved here, they basically found a tumor on her spine. They removed it. But at that point, like, it was in her bones.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's no going back. So she's been on, like, she did, like, all the trials, like, all the big stuff. Did infusion and everything else. And then after my father passed away, you know, there's a thing that I read that said, like, the mortality rate for a cancer patient who loses a significant other or loved one, it's about 90% in, like, a year, they say.
Oh, God.
Something wild. And so so I'd seen last seen my mom around September of 2012. And Christmas comes around, and, you know, at the time, so, you know, I had to basically, you know, let go of my apartment. I paid the last month's rent in a place in the East Village, moved out to, you know, I've got no money.
Right.
And, I let my mom know, like, oh, you know, I don't really have, you know, a lot of cash. And so she sends me, like, a check for, like, I think it was, like, $500, which is, like, the most money my mom's ever sent me. And, like, she didn't say this, but the implicit thing was basically, like, oh, come visit.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, she didn't, you know, there was no attachment there. Use this to buy a ticket, whatever. She, you know, basically said, take it and be happy. And I didn't go. Like, I didn't buy a ticket. Ugh. I was just, like, I don't know. Like, the other thing with it, too, is I hadn't known. My siblings had sort of been talking to me about, like, oh, you know, she's not quite, you know, quite as happy. Her, you know, her health isn't as good. We ended up losing our family home. And so she moved to San Francisco to be closer to my sister.
Yeah.
She started using a walker, like, that kind of thing. And so I'm hearing all these things, and I'm like, I don't want to see that. Like, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, after my father passed away, I saw the body, and I regret it.
Yeah.
Like, they make you sign a waiver beforehand so you can't sue afterwards, which is smart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially when you haven't, when you see someone alive and you see them dead, it's a...
traumatic. It's a change.
It's a big change. And so about 2 weeks before, you know, my sister's calling me up. She's running point at this time. And she's like, you know, it's getting a lot worse. Like, she's getting to the end. Like, you need to come home. You should come home. And so, like, I pack a suitcase. And the idea is basically I'm going to try to get one on, what's that thing called when you show up at the airport?
The standby. Yeah.
I'm going to try to fly standby. And I tell everyone, like, I'm going home to California this weekend. I'm going to fly standby. And I don't.
You got scared.
I held up my apartment, for 2 days. I basically didn't, it didn't say anything. Like, I let my siblings know, like, sorry, I just told them I couldn't find one. And so, and then I talked to my mom about a week and a half before. This is in mid-January of 2013, and we're talking, and old night conversations with my mom were nice. My mom was like a wellspring of good things.
Yeah.
And you know, she says, like, you know, the you know, she's telling me, you know, like, oh, you know, I really wish I had some good advice to give you. I really don't at this point. You know, like, the best that I can say is, you know, this is your only life. You have to live it the way you want. And I love you.
Oh.
And I was just like, you know, it's all right. Like, I'm flying out next week. I'll see you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my sister calls me. I'm at work, and I'm trying to remember. It was January 28th. My sister calls and said, like, yeah, she's gone. And they're like, you want to come out and see the body? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I can't. I won't do it. And it's like the thing is, you know, my siblings were telling me afterwards that they turned the body over. There's this thing called the Neptune Society, which is like an organization that takes care of the deceased. Basically, they handle like a lot of the funeral arrangements and plans. So that way, the family doesn't really have to. And so, you know, my siblings, you know, they all got to see my mom like right before, and they got to see her right after. And they were saying how, you know, like it was weird because afterwards they put her up in a lot of like makeup. Like,
yeah,
they put, like, lipstick,
yeah.
And they said it was like sort of, it was kind of grotesque in a way because my mother had never worn makeup during her life. Like, she just didn't do that. She didn't need it. But,
yeah.
but yeah, and so it's a thing, you know, that I regret. You know, I
I think I did it because you know your mind does all kinds of like psychological things to, like,
yes, yeah,
to
of
help you survive.
Yes, to save yourself. Yeah.
But I know that she really wanted me to come.
Yeah.
And so that's a thing I regret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm sure she had some understanding that your father just passed.
Yeah.
And it must have been it would have been really hard on you. Are you the youngest?
No.
Are you like a middle?
I'm number of my mom's kids. I was number 2 of 4.
Got it.
And then my dad had three. My three older siblings were from my dad's first marriage.
People, they're unable. And some people just can't do certain parts of that process.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she knew, like, you just went through so much and that you loved her truly very deeply. But I can understand that feeling. But, you know, you could also understand where you're coming from, you know, both all the sides of the regret, but also the feeling of, like, you couldn't physically do it.
No.
I get it, man. Like, yeah. You know, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I really appreciate you opening up. I thought that was beautiful.
Thank I'm listening. Listening. Over here, we're like, you know, we started with a blackout drunk renter's market, and here we are.
Yeah. No one saw that twist.
And is this not the podcast?
Come on.
That's the way. Well, the other weird thing of it too is just like I went to the funeral, of course, but my my siblings were telling me about like all the things that my mom told them before she died, and the crazy thing, So at the funeral, I'm there. I'm meeting everybody, mom's coworkers, everybody else. And this older woman comes by, and you know she shakes my hand and says, "Hi, my name is Ruth. I was one of your mother's closest friends." And I'm just like, "Oh, it's nice to meet you. I'd never heard of this woman before." She's like, "If you have some time, I'd love to talk to you and your siblings about your mother." And I'm just like, "Oh yeah, sure, of course. Like at some point, that sounds great." And so I'm like reconnecting with my siblings later on, and they're just like, "Yeah, you know, I can't believe that Ruth showed up." And they're like, "Yeah, Ruth, I can't believe Ruth's here." And I'm like, "Yeah, who the fuck is Ruth?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, that's well, you weren't here." Mom sort of individually, like, you know, kind of like sat down with each of my siblings, and basically told them that back in the late '70s, she had been a lesbian. She'd been an out lesbian.
Oh.
And she'd had a relationship with this woman.
I love this.
And it explained a ton because my mom had always had like a very strained relationship with her family. They're like Southern conservatives.
Yeah.
And had just like, and like this, and she was dating a black woman in the 70s as a white woman.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, even in California, it was like, you know, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so she'd had this relationship with this woman, and then at some point in time, this woman's mother had passed away. She'd gone on her own spiral, had turned to drugs, and as a result, my mom ended the relationship. And then when she met my father, my dad, you know, she told my dad what had happened, and my dad, like, forbid her from seeing this woman again.
Oh, Ruth.
Yeah, poor Ruth. And
Ruth.
So that was, like, an aspect of my mom that I, you know, I had to hear secondhand, unfortunately. Oh. But it was just like a thing, and it was important, I think, more for my youngest sister, who's also gay.
Yeah.
To sort of hear that, because my mom was able to, you know, they were able to connect a bit on that.
Wow.
That kind of thing. And I know my younger sister had like a lot of struggles growing up, so it was like.
I'm really like over here. This really, really getting me. I mean, you really came in hot, buddy.
I'm sorry,
and, I love it. It's
really beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Do you believe in, do you ever feel her energy or anything?
Yeah, sometimes. I remember when for my wife's birthday last year, have you guys ever been to the floating pods?
Is that scary where they put you in the dark?
They basically put you in like this big, like almost like a, I want to say like an artificial womb, but it's basically like a pod that's filled with like, you know, 1,000 pounds of salt water or something so that you float on the water.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
like the Dead Sea.
And so, and it closes you in there. You can play music if you want. There's like no light. You know, under certain circumstances, you start like hallucinating.
Is it sensory deprivation?
It's sensory deprivation in a lot of ways. And like, that was like one, and I just remember like, you know, I was just like, I was sort of trying to force myself to have like a moment of some kind, and like nothing was coming. And then I was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna sit back and relax. And I was thinking about it and just like, what am I trying to listen for? What do I hear? And I said, oh, the voice of my mother. That's what I'm listening to. That's what I try to listen to, like whenever, and I thought about it like when I was writing my wedding vows. whenever something important has happened, or if I face an important decision, I feel like I'm, you know, what I'm trying to do is listen to the voice of my mother, because she would tell me the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, yeah. I really love that. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. We don't, you know, we don't have, I don't, like, I wish I could tell you something. I don't know what to say.
She'd be so proud of you.
I'm really
very proud of you. Yeah. She's very proud.
Yeah. You're such a...
That's a woman who raised a man who respects women.
Oh, no. My brand.
I mean, truly. Holding the fries. Oh,
holding the fries.
Oh, Alex. Oh, I mean, really. Man. You brought down the house here. I can't. But really, she's
a, I love her.
And I get
her.
That. You want to hear what, you know, her voice.
Yeah.
Want to hear her voice. Yeah. Now, and she had never told you guys that she had been with a woman?
No. Oh, my, wow. I think she told my sister when she was younger that, so my mom got sent to boarding school when she was like 13. Like, her family basically was just like, not our problem anymore. And so when my sister in high school was, this is another regret of mine. So we went to a very Catholic high school in Stockton, California.
Yeah.
And it was pretty conservative, and it's, you know, kids are shit in general. I say that as a a city That's servant in the Department of Education.
Your bosses.
Yeah, my boss is the kids. You know, kids can be terrible, and it's, you know, it's tough when it's like, you know, you're in an environment that's kind of like, yeah, it's not okay to you be this thing. And it, you know, I think it's a lot better now. Like, the sport is better for most schools. But yeah, at the time it like was not great. Like, it was not a good thing to be an out student at this school.
Right.
My sister had sort of come out in like seventh grade, and in ninth grade she was sort of trying to do the same thing, and she was bullied a lot. And my dad like basically refused to believe it. My mom was told my sister like, well, you might switch back.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a relationship in boarding school, and like, you know, she didn't go into any details whatsoever. But basically said, like, it was a phase for me. It might be a phase for you.
Got it.
Which, I mean, the heart was in the right place.
Yes, and of course. And it's different. It was different.
Yeah, and I think, like, later on, she, you know, once my sister was, like, you know, out of school and, like, out, I think all of us really wanted my sister to have, like, an easier time.
Of course.
And, like, in that place, like, you know, it's putting a target on yourself.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah, you know.
Your poor sister.
Yeah. No, she's great now, though.
She's living it up now.
She's living now in New Orleans. Yeah.
Oh.
She's down there doing good. She's a firefighter.
My God. She's saving cats. This family.
Listen, to be a firefighter is not easy.
No.
At any body strength, whatever. And God bless.
Yeah. You got to be brave. I'm running for the hill.
Shout out to the firefighters and the first responders.
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Shout
they
out.
Get it.
I used to, whenever I would see a firefighter, thank them because I had had a fire.
Of course.
So I used to always be like, I just want to thank you. Yeah. Or I'd just tell them, like, I had a fire and, like, you guys were there in 5 minutes.
Crazy.
Couldn't save the house, but you saved the animals.
That's
really what
it's
about.
House,
yeah, and they come quick, and they just come.
Yeah.
And they hung out. They really hung out. And, like, they did. They hung out in the sense of when I was there, maybe it just happened. I don't even remember. But I went in with a fireman. Like, he took me inside to get my stuff just was, like, very kind. Because, I mean, you know, when everyone's okay, which is, like, first of all, great, but then sort of, you know, trying to be helpful to people.
Right.
Like, I think to lean on. I'm sure they get a lot of tears and a lot of, you know.
I think empathy is probably an important trait in any first responder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people.
And truly people.
Truly
people. Alex, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really.
This was an episode. I got nothing to say. I don't want to say my favorite so far.
Oh,
but I really—that's
my favorite. I cried. I'm literally. I laughed
and then I cried.
I was. I mean, this was.
What an hour! I would do it again. I would do it again and again.
You know what? You're a fucking champion, brother.
You really are.
And shout out to give this man a larger role on Mr. Robot.
Jesus,
please.
I mean, can somebody throw this dog a bone?
I can't blink.
I should be able to go to the bathroom and come back, and he's still on the screen.
Sam, Rami, if you're listening to this, it was a pleasure working with you. I think lab.
Please listen to this.
Lab tech employee, recurring character.
Man.
Probably not.
Oh, I think so. Okay, I think it depends.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys both for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Two women and a man.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.